Welcome to Monclova Township, February 18th, Board of Trustees meeting. Please join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have an addition and a subtraction to the agenda. Under old business, we would like to add a discussion about what we're calling the annex building, and we're removing the executive session for the purpose of entering into a discussion about economic development. So I make a motion to do those two things.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lang.
Yes. I have a school officer that needs just to do an important presentation, and if you move me and leave from the meeting, but we're going to let our sheriff give us an update first. So please come tell us about the things.
I will make it quick for you.
Yeah, I upgrade him to sheriff.
Thank you for the promotion.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to address the Board of Trustees for Monclova Township, members of fire departments, citizens, and several members of the county out here.
Yeah, it's a big meeting today.
That'll be good.
That's what happens when Chuck doesn't show.
So first of all, we're addressing some speeding complaints that are going on our favorite runway over there, Salisbury Road. As we're getting multiple complaints of speeding, we have officers out there, units that are keeping line of the air.
The roundabouts are making them go
faster? Yeah, I don't know if they're trying to beat their best time to get to and from the place out there. I encourage citizens, if they've seen the speeding out there, if they've got complaints, go ahead and please feel free to contact me. My contact information is on the website there. Give me a call. I'm the direct units over there to my monitors to make sure that people get it to and from the place as safe out there. Plus, I can give my contact information to these violators too. It's in the form of a citation. I give my contact and a court date for it. We're addressing some parking complaints at some of our actually residential areas over here, and also some of our big complexes overflowing timbers over at Encore. We've got some complaints going on, some people parking some business trucks out there out on the street. So we can add some officers out to go talk to individuals. This whole thing. Earlier today on the phone as well, trying to resolve this between the two parties there and to understand some stuff that's going on between him getting his kids there and the size of his BSL up to kind of some questions about it. So we're trying to get that resolved for him and the neighbors too. Because people, I want to make sure they can get into the residents doing up and down the street, especially with plows in the residential area too, without having big commercial motor vehicle parked out there.
Right, and if you need our zoning resolution to back you up, we surely have parking regulations in that zone.
We do, and the gentleman, he called me, and I explained to him that we have a parking reso, and that he said that he's laid off every winter from a contracting company, and he wanted to keep his vehicle in the street. Basically, we all learned, I told him he couldn't do that. He said he had alternate arrangement. He could leave at the company headquarters for one of the yards. And so he could take it away there, so he said he'd do that.
We're back to the money scams coming in. I said we're getting close to tax season here, and everybody's going to hopefully get a refund check. I said we've got people calling, the people you say mean that I'm calling them, and advise them they have warrants for their arrest. I said I won't call you on the phone. I make house visits. So if you do have any questions about it or sounds fishy, please look up our number online. And so then call the real number. I said we will let you know. I'm trying to contact with you.
Did they call you the sheriff?
Yeah, they actually go to other, they're quite ingenious. They go down the phone tree and just randomly grab an officer here and there, and then they put insert name here in their scripted message, and they call people saying that, you know, they got warrants for the arrest and that you need to go to either Home Depot or Target and get gift cards and then pay for this fine. I don't know any municipality or any court that actually accepts gift cards. I said, it may be something new, I don't know. But yeah, if you think it's fishy, please just call us. I said, we'll let you know if I'm trying to reach out to you. Okay. So I don't see anybody skating on it.
Kathleen, that'd be a great little segment when you're looking for news for our newsletter, scams. Don't let Lieutenant Leach's name, fool you. It would be the headline.
I'm not going to, you know, ask you to pay me in gift cards.
You want hard cold cash.
There you go. So, access, looks like access control to Winkola Road is going to be done pretty shortly, so we'll see officers working on the, for sure, over 8115 Winkola Road. That's where we're getting that all finished up. That's it, so you'll see us out there taking reports and the officers out there. We appreciate all the hard work you've got on the township and moving us over there and giving us a nice image. It is really, really nice over there. It looks great. And with the weather, as it gets cold out here now, inclement weather, I said we had to invite everybody, please slow it down. I said it looks like, you know, the roads are clear right now, but it's blowing drifting snow, black ice on the roadways. Give yourself at least 3 cars in the car lengths between the cars, slow it down a little bit. We don't want to see anybody get hurt. I said you'll get there safely, believe me, you'll get there eventually over time. So just slow it down just a little bit. Is there any questions from the board? Not one member of the audience?
You said that your contact info is on the website?
That's correct, sir.
To Lucas County Sheriff.
Lucas County Sheriff.
But not you.
Okay.
Not correct. Not you individually.
You want your cell phone number.
I can give you my cell number. It's on there. I'm the sheriff of law enforcement division. You'll see Lieutenant Leach and my contact information.
Gotcha. Thank you.
I'm good.
You guys are good?
Thank you.
Keep my club safe.
Lucas County, we will get to you momentarily, okay? We're just going to let Gavin do his report. Is that okay?
Yeah. Sorry, I just have somewhere else I have to go. Not, we do have one piece of correspondence. community members saying how good our department has been doing with all the roads, giving them kudos for that. And I did have someone text me asking about Black Road. It was bad, and they got right on it. They texted me back and said it was great. So that's that correspondence. There's another piece of correspondence that's in Harold's memo that I'll let him go over. And then for mine, I have to do the payment of the bills, and then I'll go over appropriations for the year.
So I make a motion to approve the bills presenting totaling $454,992.13 per the attached listing.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vicker?
Yes.
All right. So I have the annual appropriations for approval tonight. They mirror the budget, you know, from last June with some variances in there, but not a lot of differences. So I'll just kind of give the overview of it and then go for questions from there.
That'd be great.
If you want. So we're going to start the year rounded with a fund balance of about $20 million. We're expecting receipts of about $12.7 million and expenditures of $13.2 million. So we spend a little more money this year than we will actually bring in. And again, that the expenditures in excess of receipts is mostly, you know, the capital items. Our road project is a large project this year, and that usually is what throws us into the negative. There are some things in here that I don't know if we'll spend them or not. Like we have $500,000 in a building renovation that we don't know what a budget is for. We don't know if we'll spend that money this year or not, but that's included in our expenditures. So there's items like that that even though we know they're expenditures, we might not spend. But so each fund itself, our general fund, is very healthy, and we do purchase things out of the general fund to help out some of the other funds as needed. But our general fund receipts will be $4.2 million, and our expenses will be $2.4 million. And a lot of the general fund is due to the economic development that we've done and the JEDs, JEDZs, CETAs, and all of that sort of stuff has allowed us to then fund our road projects and not have to go to our taxpayers and get more funds from that standpoint.
So, Gavin, while you're bringing that up, because I did make a note on this. Again, I've always said that the biggest trustees had did a wonderful job creating these different joint economical zones and districts and things like this. And from what I understand, just so the audience knows, from what I could see on this report, there's actually almost close to $1.9 million coming in through those partnerships.
Correct.
So kudos to the previous trustees for making us a healthy township and where we're at, because then you can keep going on. But I also want to give kudos to Gavin. Gavin has invested the township money to bring in a very high amount of interest. And it's all doing to gather, playing with the numbers, making sure things are where they need to be and where they need to come out for the township. So again, Gavin's done a great job, again, making the township healthy personally by moving stuff around and getting the best interest possible for the township's money. So kudos to Gavin.
Thanks. I did try and account for some increase in staffing. Should have switched some headers because it says salary township fiscal officer. Just because we have an assistant this year, so that's not mine. I'm like, that should be like, you know, with office, not officer. So felt that way, but I think for the most part, this mirrors what our budget was for the year, with a little bit of additions. Just we had some increase in healthcare costs, and we added the paramedics this year. So we have the EMS is a little bit different than in the past with the county and how that worked out. But I will point out, I mean, we do project a budget surplus in the EMS, but the budget deficit in fire. From that standpoint. So total appropriations for the year, $13,000,000,5955. Answer any questions you have regarding.
I just have a couple questions just for the audience. The township, we have garbage collection in the whole township, and I just would like people to be aware that the township does pick up a significant portion of that garbage pickup. Through the general fund and things like that. So I don't know if there's any other township that actually helps all the neighbors that have one consistent garbage person picking up all their trash at the same time and not having 12 garbage trucks through on all different days. So again, set up previously by the trustees coming up. Again, a great advantage and a plus for the township residences as far as that goes.
To point out that number, we budget $475,000 from our general fund
right.
for garbage. And then the other half of it, when you look at your taxes, there's a special assessment for garbage, which is about half is what the original formula was, give or take. So we have
but it's $100 on your taxes, something like that.
Yeah. Yes.
So just to bring
some
to
rounding.
Yeah, people's attention right. that they don't realize a lot of these things that come to this budget, how much it is worthwhile being in Clova, and again, don't want 12 different garbage trucks going down, picking up containers every day of the week. So this way it's nice and consistent. So again, great job on the garbage pickup end. I had, or should I keep asking a couple questions?
Yeah.
So you can
yeah.
go, Gavin. Account 2031760, improvement of sites from $1,071,000. I don't know the account code, so it was on page 4.
That's road project.
Okay.
So the road project split up between roads and then permissive for motor vehicle, gas tax. It's just depending what that fund balance is. I split those up.
So improved sites, that's like roads and things like that. Okay.
Correct.
It was just a large number that jumped out at me.
Yeah.
So
we use the UAN system, so I
okay.
have to use their account numbers in their categories. They don't have a road. it's just not one of their accounts.
Okay, so that's
improvement of sites is what you use.
Yeah, because improvement of sites, what are we putting up a new administration
yep.
building or something? So that was just a large number that jumped
yep.
out. So when it says improvement of sites, is that up between different categories? Like there's a $600,000 for improvement of sites.
Yeah, it's 2231. One is the massive
yeah.
motor vehicle. So
okay.
that's part of the road project. It
okay.
just didn't all go on roads. I pull it between funds that are permissible to spend on roads.
Okay. Am I asking too many?
No, funds? You're good.
Okay. Capital improvements. I thought we were in line to go for a new fire engine coming up. I don't see any capital improvements for the fire department on here besides the building renovation that we just threw a number in there. Is capital improvement items for the fire department?
I do not have any equipment. We had talked about potentially doing a fire truck this year, and if we do a fire truck, you know, the PO side of it, we would increase appropriations for it.
Okay.
So you have capital items on one sheet.
Correct.
I'd love to tell you what page it was, but I can't.
18.
So
did all the departments meet with you to do this?
Yeah, that was from the budgetary from back in June.
So is there anything else in the fire department coming up that we should be planning and working on?
27 was the replacement for the engine, but we talked about trying to work it ahead of time with the delays and
right.
the process and that. So that's something that we
I guess, is there any problem with the chief looking into this? 2027 sounds like a long time out, but every time we know from the previous fire truck, the expenses went up $400,000 or $500,000, and it was supposed to be 18 months for the last fire truck, and I don't think we got it for, 24 months? And then it took another how many months? So sitting here, I would like to try to push forward more on finding information to replace the fire truck sooner than later. So
I don't think that is an issue from an appropriation standpoint. If it came down that we actually spec'd out, bidded a truck, and we had to do a PO this year, okay. then we would figure out appropriations from that.
I just don't want to
have any input on whether they need a fire truck or not.
Well, we have it in the budget.
I have no input. Until I see the budget, it could be in here or not in here. It doesn't matter.
Right. Gavin said it didn't matter, but what I'm saying is I would like to start the process sooner than later. You know, the ambulance ended up being a really good. I mean, we went, ambulance was go find the ambulance. We'll make it work and fit, and it came in real handy because when you see the repairs going out on the medic units.
I think if Matt finds it important, we'll hear about it.
It is something that we're going to start looking into, definitely, and as we go forward with talking about it. But, yes, I mean, the ambulance is a little different animal than the fire truck, or the fire truck is a little different animal than the ambulance.
So is the fire truck going to take longer?
It just, I mean, they're 2 years, but depending on the build times and that and the availability. I mean, depending on what happens economically, if that changes, or with any other changes to emission or standards
right.
that
so
are changing there.
Right. So Barbara says she doesn't have an opinion. I want to get started on it now.
And that's what I said. We're going to start looking into
but
it.
But not
as
committee
far as,
and not 2 years from now and then come back yes. and it's $300,000 more money.
Well, I mean, we have to work within the budget too. So
well,
we
it's
to,
in the budget. He said we could issue a PO. That's not a problem. I think this is, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Gavin, but you should mention
some. So there were some steps in there Gavin missed. The board would have to decide that, yes, we're investing. Give me a number. $1.2 million on a new fire truck.
It's under
that's
$1 million.
The part that's missed.
It should be under the right. $1 million.
But he has to get those things.
He would have
to bring
work.
It to us.
Yeah, yeah, there would.
Okay, so
and
get
if
it together.
He thinks it's urgent, that would top his list, and he would bring it to us.
It's urgent now.
We're in position with the new ladder truck that we're bringing the 07. Which is the one that will be replaced.
Which we just put $40,000 into.
Right. We put some repairs into that to bring that into the backup status that we have, and then we have the older that we're moving into the reserve status. So we'll use that when one of those have maintenance or some downtime for it.
Right.
So some of that $40,000 was repairs and some was things that we needed to do to that engine to make it into that new role.
Right. I figured that engine will be good for 2 or 3 years, but in the meantime, let's keep moving along.
Right. They have the 20 years that they can be in frontline status based on the standards, and then...
That's a 2007.
And then a 10 years mark for they can be in a reserve status, and then they should be... So that's where we're at in the reserve status with the older engine.
Right.
And we're moving the ladder truck and the... 07 engine into the primary roles.
So you're 8 months out from the 20 year. It's a 2020.
Those
it's a
are
20,
guidelines.
2007.
If we did a survey on how right. many townships have trucks that hit those guidelines and don't hit those guidelines.
But does it help our insurance
picture.
Or ISO or whatever
sure,
it is?
Sure, they always go back to that.
Okay.
I'm glad Matt's here listening to this conversation. Are you recording me, Matt?
I'm aware of your position, Miss Lang.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think that's it, Gavin. Thank you.
Do you need us to do anything?
Oh, we have to move to approve. I move to approve resolution 02-1185-01, Township Annual Appropriations, and the of $13,205,955.
There was a number left out of that resolution. It should be
oh, I'm sorry.
0218-2025.
Oh, no. I thought I read it right. Okay. Do I need to revise it? Read it again?
Sure, Barbara. Read it again.
I move to approve resolution number 0218-2025-01. Township annual. Did I say it?
Nope, you did right.
Appropriations in the amount of $13,205,955.
Okay.
Second by Lang, on the motion, Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes. Have fun.
Sorry
that I have to leave. No problem. I move to approve the minutes as presented by the fiscal officer for February 3rd.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery, on the motion, Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
I said I'll take now, it for example.
Now I would love to have Matt and Josh introduce themselves to the Montclair community and please make your presentation.
Okay.
And if I could give the microphone, will pick up, but if you go ahead and speak loud enough because there's actually listening online.
Sure.
They even might be watching you. Oh, so make sure you talk loud enough that if they're online listening that they don't have to try to turn their volume up too loud.
Will do. I usually speak loud enough. I usually don't speak slow enough. So if I go too fast, feel free to slow me down. I know Karen definitely mentions that to me occasionally. So good evening. Thanks so much for having us out. We really appreciate it. Sorry I missed Trent Herschel today, although we certainly interact with him quite a bit as well. So we just wanted to take an opportunity to come out and talk a little bit about our newly revamped Economic Development Department. And some of the steps we are taking to continue to work with Montclair Township and all of the jurisdictions of Lucas County for further development. One of the things that the county has realized over time is that, we, like every other organization, can look at ourselves and find things that we spend money on that maybe everyone doesn't agree on. But the fundamental problem that our government has is we probably not have an expense problem, we have a revenue problem. So we need to be bringing in more revenue to our community to help make the services that all of our residents expect. No different than you, and to your point, Trustee Vickery, is, previous boards have created opportunity for growth that are allowing you to fund what you guys need to do today. The county needs to do the same on behalf of all of our jurisdictions. So, but for that to happen, we really need partnership. So we have invested heavily in our new department. We have brought on Josh as our business engagement specialist. I'll talk a little bit about his role, and he'll talk a little bit about that. We have brought on Dana Dussault, our analyst and project manager, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And then Gina, many of you may know, has been around a long time. We'll continue to work on a lot of our tax and center property issues. And then we're also, and I'll talk about this later, just hiring in April our first business navigator, which is going to help people through the process of permitting and development both here and throughout the county. So we've built up quickly. We're making a major investment. And then, as in my role as Deputy County Administrator, I'm now spending about 75% of my time just working on economic development. So it's a significant commitment that we're making. A representation of our strategy is in the first document I hand you guys with the beautiful, beautiful Ohio logo on the or actually, it's this one without the logo. Been there, it lays out kind of the case. It's a very simple document. It's the vision that we're looking to implement here. In there, you'll see that we essentially have three main pillars and one we call cross-pillar initiative that I wanted to hit on today, answer any questions you guys may have about it. These are pillars that we think are going to help cause growth in our county. Really, the first pillar, and I also want to say none of the things that we're talking about doing are we revolutionary on. These are just good, fundamental, well-proven economic development principles that every mature county should be doing. And so we're excited to invest in them. So the first is what Josh spends 100% of his time on, which is called business retention and expansion. You guys are probably well aware of this. We should be meeting with the companies that are in our community consistently every year. We want to know before they go, right? The bad case is when the company and say, well, we're doing this expansion. We couldn't find anywhere to do it in Montclair Township, so we chose Mayberry County, Wood County, or Chicago, or whatever, right? That happens when communities are not touching base. So Essentially, what Josh is doing full time, 365 days a year. You know, he doesn't work on Saturdays and Sundays.
He gets most, okay.
So 200 days a year, he's working on this, and essentially, he's reaching out to businesses. I want to explain very targeted businesses. So, our target, this doesn't mean we won't help other businesses, but our targeted businesses are what we call traded or export businesses. We are really looking for businesses in which they sell a product that leaves our area. Why are we targeting those businesses? It's not because we don't like the Karnix of the world. It's just that when we view economic development, we view it like a bathtub, right? Money, cash comes into the top of the bathtub, and it drains out. Like when our residents spend money on things that other communities use, that's money leaving and draining our bathtub. When people from other communities buy things that we produce in this community, and when I say produce, I mean manufacture, intellectual property, information systems. When they buy those from us, that's money coming in. And if you have too much going out or not enough coming in, that's a bad thing. So the businesses, and then while that water's in there, it's circulating around, and that's when the Karniks of the world make a ton of money, right? If we have more money circulating around, more highfalutin dogs hanging around because we all have more money, then we pay for more fancy, you know, places for them to stay when we go on our fancy vacation, hopefully to Western Lucas County, right? That's where I know I vacation. But, so that's where we want the money to stay in the bathtub. It's a lie, I actually vacation in Northern Michigan, but it's still on the list. So we want to keep that money in, but we're very focused on those that are bringing money into the bathtub. One of our big asks of the townships and the jurisdictions we work with is companies that you know you're working with that are in that place, we would love to meet with them. Josh spends an inordinate amount of time doing cold calls and looking on LinkedIn, trying to find anyone in our organization that's connected to these businesses. Not all businesses, you might be shocked, are really excited to be with, but we are trying to change that. So Josh is going in, he's talking to business about what their needs are. Do they need expansion? Where can that growth happen? And really providing resources to them. And even if nothing else, just letting them know that we're thinking about them, which is a huge thing that goes a far way. But I'll let Josh talk a little bit about some of the things he talks about with businesses that they can offer. So
yeah, so thank you, Matt. I've been on the job now for about 5-6 months. I've met with about 40 businesses in Lucas County, a number in Montclair. With Service Spring just a few weeks ago, which is our employer in Montclair, and we're working with Yarger Manufacturing before I came on to locate in Montclair. And then I've also met with the Senator Group that is Alamir in Montclair as well. So, within those 40 businesses, I hear a lot of workforce problems. That's about the main thing I hear from businesses. Is I'd love to expand, but I don't know where I'm going to find the people. So helping those businesses make those connections in the workforce space is one of the things that I'm on a daily basis. Is whether that be public schools, Owens, UT, the level of these businesses need, and then also Ohio Means Jobs and our workforce department at the county. And so making those connections is important for these folks, and I enjoy doing it. And so. A lot of the businesses I meet with are small businesses. I met with a business today that had 4 employees, a little tool and die shop up in North Toledo. But that's 4 families that are affected by that work, and if I can help them hire 4 more people, that's 4 more families that have a check coming to their house every week. So it's important work. I really, really enjoy it. Matt didn't mention the reason that this work is so important is that A, we haven't been doing it for a while, and B, Jobs Ohio, RGP, Regional Growth Partnership, put out a study a couple years ago that said 76% of new jobs in Northwest Ohio come from existing businesses that are already here. And so what I take from that is that the work I do every day is very important, and I take pride in it, and as Matt says, I do a lot of cold calls, and I am a salesperson by trade, so it can be very daunting. I've had a couple people hang up on me, a couple people tell me that government's no good, and I just keep going. So if you have business contacts and businesses that fit into our priority area, I would love to have that contact information. If you'd like to make an introduction, if you'd like to come along with me on a business retention and expansion visit, I'd love to have you. So so I have my contact information, my card here, and that's about a little bit about what I do, and I'm excited to do it, and not only Lucas County, but our townships grow.
Thank you. Josh, the Joint Economic Development Zone between Maumee and Toledo and Monclovis, having a gathering in, I think it's going to be in October, I will get you the date. You could be the keynote speaker about how you want to service all or Mac can be. You've got a table there set up, yep, and greet everybody. But when I think of Monclova, I think we're all our companies you're looking for. Our fire chief and our zoning administrator have tons of contacts. Besides Chuck, me, and Trudeau.
Yep. And on the airport, you know, one of the first companies.
Not that JEDS.
Well.
But yeah.
Yeah. But on the JEDS and the JDZ and the JDD, one of the first companies we met with through RGP was Willie Salsa. And I don't know if anyone's familiar with Willie Salsa. It is delicious salsa. You see it at Kroger, pick it up.
Have you gone in at the airport?
They were at the airport and staying at the airport.
Right.
So with that business, I was like, you know what? There's a lot of businesses out here at the airport. Let me call around there. So myself, Elf, and Bill Burkett from the Regional Growth Partnership, we've met with four companies at the airport. All of them want to expand. The problem is, how do we make that work financially with the airport, the port? Hangars are expensive, and so we're working through that project to make sure that the airport is an economic driver for our community, not only now, but for years and years to come. So that work is really, really exciting, and I'm really excited that we're able to do it, and it was just a hunch, you know, and so I'm going on a lot, so I appreciate your time, though. Thank you.
So just building on a couple of things that Josh said, you know, he mentioned TPS, and I want to mention why that matters here and then how I think it can build into the Anthony Wayne School. So one of the things that TPS has done highly effectively is it is starting to really target its magnet schools around the business needs of the entire county, realistically. And I think it's, you know, for anyone's interest in your businesses, if you visit, like, their Toledo Technology Academy, it really feeds a lot of businesses that are specialty in our community. Being said, if you guys can help us, we'd love to talk with the Anthony Wayne Schools and other school systems, because one of the things we are updating in kind of our sidecar department, which is workforce development, we're updating that strategic plan this year with them. And one of the things we're really going to be focusing on is really targeting from, you know, K through 12 to Owens Community College to UT and BG, that we're making sure that those are all lined up so that they are creating the programming that aligns with the workforce that we need today and into the future. And that might sound like common sense, and it is, but the practical reality is that's not what's been going on for a long time. We have been pushing a lot of our students into particular areas that don't really feed.
I can't imagine school board members and administrators don't want to meet with you.
No, they do. That's what we're trying to get better. So if you can just help us continue to do that, we want to continue that partnership here. So we haven't had the opportunity to meet with Anthony Wayne, is what I'm saying. I didn't want to pretend
you
like...
You can just call them, I'm
no,
sure.
No, I agree, but we just want to bring you into the process, yeah. Trustee Lang. We're always collaborative. I feel like we gave you an ambulance. I don't know what else we
gave you. That's an ambulance? I'm sorry.
I thought there would, like, burn any tires on that vehicle.
That's not going to go with you.
You didn't have to do it.
But this I will have to say, because I just heard Toledo Public PS has started a CDL class.
Mm-hmm.
Students over a certain age, that they actually have a semi trailer,
yep,
and they're teaching these younger high school CDLs. What a way to go! I mean, seriously, they're always in demand. So,
yeah.
You're saying TPS is stepping up.
I think they're doing some really good things in this space, I don't think that Anthony Wayne's not. I'm just saying I haven't had a chance to connect
you
with them. So,
absolutely,
you know,
should connect with,
yeah,
them. I can text a school board member right now, but I don't think you need me to do that.
No, I understand.
I'll
do it. All
right, thank you. Finally, local steps up. You know, so, all right. So, So yeah, we really appreciate that. The other thing I just want to take a step back is a lot of people hear these acronyms, and it just reminded me when Josh mentioned it. They say RGP and Jobs Ohio and the Port and awesome. And so like one of the questions that like reporters ask us is like, you know, aren't there already like 17 organizations that do economic development? And I just wanted to kind of set the stage for what each entity does because they are different. And they all come together in different ways. It's almost very similar to the way our federalistic form of government works. But essentially, Jobs Ohio, which is funded every time you buy hard liquor, so go out and buy a hard liquor because it helps fund Jobs Ohio, is they're essentially trying to do the picture, national and international marketing of the state of Ohio, both through incentives and through programming to try and recruit those companies in. That's really their job, to sell the state of Ohio and ensure that there's alignment. When you look at our region, Regional Growth Partnership, represents the 18-county region. They do things that individual counties just couldn't do, right? They're going to Germany and meeting with companies that are interested in coming here, right? They are marketing us to, you know, Illinois and Wisconsin. They're making those trips. It would make no sense for us and Wood County and Allen County and all these other counties to be paying to fly people. Because the truth of the matter is, these are relationship-based businesses to go do those things. It is a benefit that they go do that stuff. So they are out there. They're like the big funnel in the sky trying to catch those big fish. But to what Josh said, almost 80% of the new investment you're going to see is going to come from the work that Josh is doing, from the work that's happening in the counties. But you can't ignore that other 20%. So that's essentially what RGP is doing. When they get here, we have to create an environment to catch that pass. So the analogy I always say is RGP has been like this quarterback standing at the line of scrimmage, right? Waiting for the counties to run down the field to catch the ball because they have companies, but sometimes they're not able to land in counties that have the land zoning, just drive to get them here and make that in. And so basically what's been going on is they're standing at the line of scrimmage and you have, you know, Wood County and Hancock County run down the field trying to catch all the balls and they're catching all the passes. And that's what's happening. And right now, Lucas County is somewhere about 14 yards back walking around picking daisies. And that's what's been going on. And meanwhile, RGP is saying, where is Lucas County to catch these passes, to have the land, to have the zoning, to have the cooperation? So one thing we spend, I mean, we have different contexts that we're dealing with every day at RGP, but we talk to the RGP every single day now, which is, I think, a critical thing because we need to be knowing what they're working on, what they're seeing in the place. As we all know, all types of things in the marketplace ahead of us because they're out there doing it. So then, obviously, some jurisdictions within Lucas County have very specific programs for their jurisdiction, such as the City of Toledo, and they're really focused because the City of Toledo has specific economic development needs that are different than Lucas County. They have a downtown, and they have an industrial core that is different than the entire rest of the county. So hopefully that helps kind of why there are so many organizations. They are doing different things, and they are cooperating, working together, but it just gives some explanation for why there are different entities doing that. The second, this is the first of four pillars, so it's going to be a long night.
No.
Should have never asked about it.
No, I didn't.
I know you didn't.
And the person that did in here.
I know. And I called it. So. All right.
And I'm the one that called it.
I know. Who's to blame really? So, all right. So, pillar two.
So, like at 6:15, we're going to wrap this up.
No problem. Not down bad. But, okay. So pillar two is just site development. So, the other key thing that we are doing is trying to create sites ready for those companies to come. As much work as Josh does, one of the things he's also hearing is, I need an expansion, I need more space. Monclova is very blessed right now. Monclova has space available. You are a little bit of a unicorn in Lucas County. Most townships do not have readily available land available. So you guys, this is not as big of a priority to you guys, but it is something we continue on, and we'd like to continue as you fill up the land that you have now.
We did have one little hang-up. Harold and our attorney were going to work on it, and that's something we mentioned last meeting that didn't get brought up in working session this meeting, and that's that water agreement. Have we gotten any movement on that with the, so Matt Yarder can do what he needs to do?
Still working on it.
Do you need the county to do something to make it happen faster?
I don't think so.
But that's what we could.
It is a problem that somebody might want to buy something, and we're going to hold them up and want us to hold them up for any reason.
Correct.
So you might keep Harold on your call list so that he gets done whatever is supposed to get done.
Well, one of the things we're trying to do is when we go out on business retention expansion, we're trying to let local jurisdictions, Harold, know so that they can come out with it because those issues come up. Like even currently operating businesses, like, hey, I'm having a real issue with trash. Well, that's not an issue here, right? But, you know, I mean, those issues help resolve that. So
right. Right.
You know, so yeah.
This is a unicorn as well. This is a unique situation, so people don't quite know what to do.
Right.
You'll find we often leave
in line for a while. I agree. So I'll deduct that 1 minute from mine.
Okay.
Pillar number three is startup ecosystem. Essentially, this is a little bit less traditional. Essentially, when you look at startup businesses, entrepreneurship, and innovation in Lucas County and Northwest Iowa, it is below average. We are performing below average. So one of the things we are trying to do is we are working with collaboration with the state of Ohio, as well as some of our local entrepreneurs, and we are trying to essentially set up systems so we are connecting venture capital with mentorship, with intellectual property. So as those things are developing, coming together, it's like that should actually come together, but often happens is the people that create the new technology don't actually know how to run the organization, run that, and don't know how to find the venture capital to grow. So we are trying to just, again, Lucas County's got to solve this. We're just connecting people, but it is a critical part of our long-term growth. And then the last pillar that we'll cover here today, and we appreciate you guys' patience, is regulatory efficiency. This is a national problem. It's a problem here in Lucas County as well, which is to say that we know that getting through our building and development process is not easy. The other report that is in front of you. Yeah.
Hello?
I don't know. We're here. Let's talk about that. So this report, so as a result of this, coming out, one of the first things we did right away was we hired a consulting group to come in and get a stakeholder, meet with all the stakeholders, so that's developers, Home Builders Association, our private engineers and surveyors, all of the regulatory entities, including Maclova Township were a part of it, Mr. Wagner was a part of it, the fire departments were a part of it, they're a regulatory entity when it comes to this, the health department, our building regs, and the county engineer, and basically try to understand the challenges of what was going on. In this report, it provides immediate, mid and term recommendations for what's happened.
Are you happy with it?
I'm happy with the report.
Yeah.
I am happy with it. I think it highlights the things that we are hearing consistently about it. I can tell you that our board is taking this the most seriously they have since I've been in the county, which is to say we contracted for this report in August, received it in November, and have already implemented what I think are two out of the three of the largest, most important things. So number one, a recommendation that's been around for a long time has been, particularly for larger, more complicated developments, we need to have a navigator, an individual who literally helps those projects go through. So like, let's take Matt Yard example, right?
Right.
When he was out here, he would tell you, he was kind of trying to bumble his way through. I mean, he would say that too. I'm not knocking. I've sat down to dinner with him. He's been like, Matt, I didn't know what I was doing, right? So the navigator helps people figure out through that process how to get that done. Really, the focus of the navigator is going to be on those mid to larger project developments, the things that are generating new wealth to townships, to the county, as we're going through it. They'll occasionally help out complicated residential issues that may come up, but that's not really the focus. So we have announced the hiring of that person. That person is going to be Karen Poor. She currently serves as the deputy mayor for the city of Toledo. She oversees their economic development and building regulation department. We're very excited about Karen Lansing. She's highly qualified. She's operated both the treasurer's office as well as the city of Toledo for a long time. We're lucky that she's retiring, so we can afford her. And so we think she'll be a great addition. She starts on April 1st. April 7th. She will be a key contact. That's a good contact for Harold or for Mr. Wagner as we go through this to help get through that process. I won't go into details, but I think one of the things that everyone well knows is when you're doing those projects, you most times have to go through at least four regulatory entities, not five. So it's a pretty complicated process. You don't have somebody stepping you through it. The second piece recommendation that came out of the report that we've taken very seriously and also taken action on is right now, if you are just trying to build a shed, and I use this example all the time.
It was in your yard.
There you go. You read the Blade article. So you've read the report.
I didn't read it.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Exactly.
The grapevines.
So, right. Exactly. That's become this. But it just goes to show, you know, I need four different permits from four different entities. There's not one place I can pay. There's not one place I can fill out paperwork for all that. So what we have done is contracted, again, going back to the math analogy, we have found an excellent local developer who we have contracted with, who is going to assist us in creating a front-end system for the entire county so that when people want to do any project from building a shed to building a house, they can submit the basic information right at the outset on the front end. all of that will be auto-generated out to all of the jurisdictional authorities. They can pay in one place, and it can be distributed out to one place, and you'll be able to track as that all goes through. In the third and fourth phases of that, over time as it develops, it's going to integrate AI so that I found, like, when I was, you know, I have 20 years in county government and a degree in government, and I still couldn't, when I read all the FAQs, figure out what the right answers to my question were about certain things with my shed, right?
You wanted a big shed, obviously, because...
20 by 16.
See, there's some... You can have 8 by 10 without problems.
Yeah.
And when you go 20 by 16...
My wife created a really big shed, so I don't know. It's going to be really nice. But when you go through that process, there's just a lot. You can't understand it. We read all these FAQs. So one of the things, you know, in phase four of this, which we were laying out with this company, they're going to integrate an AI integration that takes all of that and basically an AI that's educated on it is going to answer questions when things conflict and solve those problems. And then the fifth phase of the project, you'll be able to talk to an AI essentially and explain your whole project. It'll self-generate the maps that you need, drawings and things like that, particularly for smaller projects like that. So if you look, like for my shed, all of the information that the county needed, the county already has, right? Through all the, it's just bringing it all together and compiling. So our big ask of all this one is we, and Mr. Wagner's already participated in some of these, we have two upcoming meetings. We would love for Montclova Township to participate. You guys will still have your own process. I want to be clear, this is all front end. So all it will mean is people can, if they want, go to Montclova's website and submit their paperwork that way. But we're hoping in the future that they'll just come to this one central point, because when they submit the set of information, all of it will go to all the four regulatory entities. It'll come to you guys. Your checks will come to you and just be automatically.
It's like
done.
The OOP system.
Yes, exactly. That's a great analogy. I'm sorry, using that.
You should.
I'm sorry, you probably got this meeting. You know, every time I come out here.
617. I just now need to know.
I have only one more thing.
Okay. Oh,
okay, last one. Okay. So the last part of regulatory efficiency is we are working on one of the biggest complaints you'll hear is about our. Lots of people are talking about our county engineer site plan reviews. We've been having excellent meetings with developers as well as private engineers about working on that, and we are hoping that we're going to work together with the Ohio Home Builder Association and really work on the stormwater prevention and pollution rules, because what is happening in there is there's lots of rules in there that our engineer has to enforce because Ohio EPA has them, Ohio EPA has them because US EPA has them, and what we need to do, we have a unique period of time in which bipartisan people are coming together to get development done, and we think if we take the rules that are set forth by the executive branch of the state of Ohio, we can provide feedback that will then go up to US EPA and allow us to actually get some rules and changes that will be efficient. They are looking for test communities to figure this stuff out, and so we're trying to be that test community. I guarantee we're going to have success with this. It's a big, wild world out there in federal state government, but we are trying to work together with lobbyists, Ohio Home Builders Association, our engineer and developers to come together and do that. So,
and that'll improve the site plan process?
It will, because
EPA is the slow up on the
it is. Site so plan one process. Of the, and I'm not an anti-EPA person, I'm just saying that there are a lot of rules, and I'll just give you an example where it says, and Mr. Wagner's familiar, best management practices, right? And so when it says best management practices, there are a lot of different opinions on what the best management practice is, and many of them are simply impossible. Like, I mean, a developer will testify in state legislature, I don't comply with this rule because it is simply physically impossible to comply with all the rules. That's the stuff we've got to get. It's a big waste of our regulators' time. It's a big waste of their time. It's a big waste of money to be moving dirt piles around in ways that don't even make any sense. So we're trying to get that regulation streamlined so that we stop wasting time on that and start spending that time actually constructing houses to make them affordable. And if we, again, one of our things we're trying to make Lucas County, both through the permitting software and through this model regulation, if we can be leaders in that, is we want this to be one of the most efficient places you go. Building in America is always going to be slow. The way we do it and our regulations are not competitive on an internet scale, but need to be in the United States, it's much easier to do this. And if we can do that, that's an advantage we can have on top of other advantages we have.
I have two. It's funny that, not funny, but ironic that you're kind of here. I had a business guy walk into my office today, and he has a, in Springfield Township, has a parcel, wants to put all of his offices and businesses up, tore down the house. 3 months later, he still has standstill.
Yeah.
He says, I've gotten nowhere. 3 months, I've been trying to even get to step A.
Yeah.
So now who can he call and talk to?
So this navigator would be the first step. Karen Bohrer.
She doesn't start until April 7th.
She doesn't. And I kind of had giving her name and number right now. Now, because she...
You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
I mean, still got a full-time job in the city.
Oh, fine. But, you know, this guy came today and was just ranting in my office
but
about...
he can call me. I'll give you my cell number afterwards. He's happy to call me and I can
talk
to
you.
You
were supposed to call me after we met at the State Highway Patrol and you never called me. Last question. When I came on board, I asked Eric for zoning to make sure he lets us know any large parcels that have been purchased by anybody in Maquoketa Township. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very, very beneficial for you guys to know who's purchasing land. Somebody just purchased a large parcel back by the State of Department of Orange Rum Road. Somebody just purchased a large parcel back there off of Zero Strayer.
Yeah.
I looked it up. There's many people who are moving in and around land acquisitions and land purchases and selling in Lucas County.
Yep.
Something you might want to put on your radar.
Oh, that's a great point.
I don't know who wants to be Zero Strayer, but it's sold.
Yeah.
So anyways, we can't look at it, Eric, because Barbara's on the time frame here.
You can look at it.
No, we're fine. But what I'm saying is when Eric goes through this large parcel, I said, who would want to be at the end of Strayer Road, you know, that bought this parcel? There's just a lot of stuff going on. You know, zoning information from Eric that businesses are looking, they're looking to put more gas stations. They're looking at putting the pickleball court down in Jerome and Maquoketa.
Right. So what I'm hearing Trudy say is, Eric, send your report to Josh or parts of your report to Josh.
This is probably the ground floor of people coming in, like yard, or wanting to do something in Maquoketa Township.
Absolutely.
That might be happening. This is a big pickleball facility. They're going to put their plans to us in March.
Yep.
But they've been struggling because they wanted at first a big, one of those big white tents. They haven't gone away. So if you guys can help these businesses develop way down here, it'd be fantastic.
Right. I think what I'd like you to take away from the trustees' point of view, we're happy about OOPS. We're happy about the 911 call center. Maquoketa Township, I already told you, is a leader, and we're also a leader like in shared services where we can be a great partner. We want to be a great partner. But our zoning resolution is completely important to us and our residents. We don't want a word of it changed unless you convince us it makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
So I luckily get to represent Ohio Townships on the Ohio Township Board of Directors, and that's important to all our townships. We want to maintain local control of our zoning resolution. So you have a long way to go if what you want us to do is something other than what you described today.
No, this is not a secret plan to get a countywide zoning regulation. So no, there is always going to be local control. And I can tell you, we are only talking to communities about what they want. So I'll just give you an example. We went up and started a conversation with Richfield Township about development, right? Great conversation. Those trustees were great, genuine conversation. And they chose, they're like, we walked away. And we're fine. And we that development to Spencer, and Spencer Township is very happy with it, and that makes sense. And it made sense for that community at that time. It's absolutely, and Providence Township is very similarly situated. Their perspective on what they want is different. So we want to work together. It's our job, though, to present, here are opportunities we're seeing.
Right.
And you got to make the decision about what you want to do about it. So, for sure. There's always going to be local control, and that's really important. It really is.
I think Maquoketa Township is one of the most upcoming, going townships in the area. With the new interchange, with what we have to offer and things like this, as far as that goes. So, but we do have strategic planning for different parts of the township. I don't know if you've looked into the land use plan. I don't know if you guys have looked into the land use plan that Maquoketa adopted.
I haven't specifically looked at yours.
You might want to look into, because what she was saying about zoning, there's different areas of the land use plan that is planned in Maquoketa Township, which might help you if you need to place somebody somewhere.
Yep.
Our zoning kind of regulates that, the overlay districts on 20A. So there's a bunch of moving parts in Maquoketa Township.
Yeah, I mean, I say this in all sincerity, and I would say this anywhere in Lucas County, which is to say, when you look at the western townships, Maquoketa Township has been a leader in economic development on its own. It really has. I mean, you guys were working to create JDDs before many other communities were. You have created revenue streams, and you've recruited companies into space and developed that space. So you guys have done a great job.
All with the help of the county.
You're welcome. Okay. No, you guys have been leaders, so we really appreciate it. So thank you very much for the
thank
time.
Thank you. Well, tell Chuck it was a great presentation. All right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Went
over it.
Josh, we just need your card. For
yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'll just write my cell number in the back of it.
Yes. I texted you, Max.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gave Trudy your cell phone number, Matt.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Sorry I forgot to call you.
Yeah.
Only have to.
How easily you forgot me.
I know. Hold on.
Oh, that's fine. We can share it with you. I can add it and give it to
you. You know, Matt, that is a great addition, though. The State Highway Patrol post out there.
Yeah.
Mount Clovis Township. Phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been that building's been perfect for us, so I appreciate it.
Also happened, though, because it was my proximity on Mount Clovis Township on that as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just be an email, yeah. In case I'll do that.
I forgot. Anybody have any questions? Or Ryan, you done? Good?
I'll follow up directly.
Okay.
That takes us to old business. We purchased the church on Mount Clovis Road and have been working to make it usable. I saw a strong report last time, Harold. You might have included a shorter report this time, but Trudy wanted this added to the agenda for something.
Well, I wanted to add it to the agenda because Harold's been picking away at different items, which needs to be done no matter what. You know, the heat, the basic stuff, the improvements that need to be done. But as a trustee board, we have never directed Harold or anybody else what you think the building should be used as. And I think at this point, for Harold to move forward without wasting any of the township's money, spending it, you know, here because it might look good or here because it might look good, I'm thinking as a board, we need to direct Harold into saying this is what we would like this building to eventually be used as. Now, I'm just repeating, Chuck at one time had mentioned at a fire thing about when the rest of the account he did, and what the rest of this building looked good for the rest of the fire department, but you know, he was just at a meeting. But for Harold to get the septic tank going, I don't want to sit here 2 years later and have that building sitting empty. So to get what we need to do, if you've ever been in that building, there's a basement with windows. Do you want to put offices down there? Do you want to put offices up top? Do we want to have our meeting room somewhere? Do we need to put the restroom? There's only one handicap restroom on the main floor. You know, the maintenance guys could just make the door wider and make two handicap restrooms. So I think Harold's at a point he needs directions from this board of what we would like to move forward with.
Have you given him direction? And he got direction from me, so
no,
what's the holdup, Harold?
But you can't put out, you can't size a septic tank unless you know what the building's going to be used as.
We're not at the stage we need to size a septic tank.
What are we going to use the building for?
I assume we're using it for a township hall, but we're not at that place. Things take time, and when Harold comes and says a septic tank for 750 people costs $2 million, and a septic tank for the 10 people that are going to use it, that we'll be able to make a decision.
But why should
we don't have enough information.
Why should
we
be wasting people's times on?
There's only two of us here. There's no point discussing it further because there's not a third person to speak to. I just asked Harold if he had enough information to move forward. He said yes. What would you like to know?
Okay, well, I'd like to have Harold what information he has to move forward.
Well,
I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm not attacking you. You know what I'm saying. I'm not. I'm just saying you said you have enough information. I'd like to keep this process moving forward because, again,
it seems
that things just take so long to accomplish.
To make a good decision, sometimes it takes a long time. And without all the information, we can't make a good decision. So Harold's getting information right now. He talked to an architect. There's going to be something that comes back from that architect.
Do you have a problem, though, if I work with Harold or have any input to try to move it along?
I don't know what you're talking about. So, again, it's much like you suggesting the fire department needs to get a truck. You put the cart before the horse. If the fire department thinks they need a truck, they'll come to us. If Harold has issue, he'll come to you and say, hey, what do you think? But what are you offering? Are you offering...
services of a designer? I don't know what you're asking, Trudy.
Well, I think the trustees in general should have some sort of input. You want a town hall. So I guess the whole thing is we haven't even made a decision if those are going to be offices down there. Have we made a decision if there's offices down there yet, Harold?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Have we made any decision of anything to do with that building down there?
Yes.
You know that
we're restoring the building.
We're taking care of the mechanicals, so that's where we start.
Mechanicals are a drainer.
Monday, new HVAC, heat system, water tank.
Right.
They maintain the building so it doesn't fall apart the way it stands.
Correct.
And the way it stands right now, we know our septic system is dry, and eventually they'll have to get replaced depending on what that building's used for. So I think after we get HVAC done, we got everything organized and cleaned up at Harold's. He requested us to go in and organize things. Kathleen and EJ went down and went through everything and rated it in what's going to go to GovDeals, what's going to go in the trash. So we're there. But that's got to go out, I think. And then once he gets his drawings back, I think then we can probably start talking about...
What drawings?
Well, meeting with the architect. Once that happens, I think then we can move forward.
But my opinion is the board hasn't decided, even at this point, that there's going to be offices down there. That's my point. We have not said, Harold, there's going to be offices down there. You're going... He said
so we just see it. We see it. If he's at a standstill,
okay.
He needs to do something about
okay.
that.
Why waste people's time?
I see it differently than you.
Wait, so I'm sorry. Why waste somebody's time on pricing out a 10,000 square feet?
I don't believe you have the vision needed for that building. I believe an architect does. And so when he comes back with a proposal, we'll have something discussed.
Why waste people's time? They don't have the direction of what is going to go down there in offices. Well, you know, we're going to table it because Chuck's not here. I'm just saying, if it was me, I don't want somebody going and saying, hey, can
you... Have you looked for a grant on updating a township hall? Because I know they're available.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't think it's my job to look for a grant.
Okay, so, but designing that space is your job?
I would like to be input on it, yes. I do buildings. I do real estate. Okay. I do. It's not that I'm not familiar with it. I've walked through the building 3 times. I've done over with Harold. It's a great opportunity, but it has to be continued to move forward. I'm not going to waste an architect's time coming through and say, draw up all these plans, spend $50,000, and then the trustee go, well, we don't want offices down there. We don't want a town hall.
Right.
So... I'm just saying, I think we need to make, at the next meeting, we need to make some definite decisions of what's going to happen down there with the building. In the meantime, you guys can clear it out. Those are just, I don't want to say no-brainer stuff, but obviously when we walked through it, it was a bunch of junk, bunch of trash. Harold's done a nice job getting us to this point, but we need to move up to the next level as far as what exactly is going to happen with that building. What we're doing right now is not harmful. It has to be done. But again, when we met with the septic tank people, with the county, they said that leach field and that septic tank depends 100% on what you're going to use it for. So we can just have further
discussion.
So here's
what I would have said back. Okay. I would have said, hey, we're going to have 10 people here every day of the week.
Okay.
Give me a quote for that. Or we're going to have 10 people here every day of the week, and we might have a meeting hall here as well. What's the quote for that? I would have called Lucas County and said, hey, if I have 50 people in the room over the course of the 2 meetings. Wait, let me count this out. It's not 50. What are the restrictions or the guidelines?
Okay.
So I would have done it, would have taken care of it.
We were just having conversations out in the side yard looking where something could go, if the current septic tank was even.
But until the board knows that, we can't make a good decision. Until the board knows that the structure is sound and it can hold cars in the parking lot and there's a handicapped entrance, what does it cost? We can't have a meeting there. And there's plenty of movement that can be made from where the building stands today to whether there are offices in the building or not. Everything we've said at the board level is that this building is going to become fire and that building is going to become administration. There doesn't need to be any firm decision until there's more information.
from my perspective. We don't even know that this building works as a entire.
Would you like the whole building, Matt?
I think he would. It'd be nice, but there's stuff that has to be done. And if this building renovated costs $7 million, that's not ever going to happen. So
I think you could do away with a lot of the renovation on this building.
If you move.
If we could move the offices down there. So there's no reason to spend, and I've said this before, $500,000, there's a few things. By the way, an exhaust system price would be nice for the
So if
the
you
trust.
Need to motivate Harold to do more work on that building, I think there's a way to do that without having to make a resolution.
I'm making a resolution. I just we need to give direction of saying, what hearing you say right now, though?
I think Harold said he had enough direction and get this done. So if you don't like the direction Harold's done so far, come with a list of what needs
that.
Done.
I did. I asked Harold the other day, I said, again, I know some buildings, and I do know there's asbestos tile in that basement. And before we even bought the building, I went to a contractor, and I said, this is how many square feet is in the bottom of this basement, because I didn't want to see a $100,000 bill. So I did the homework ahead of time with the asbestos tile in the basement. I said, how much would it cost? He gave it a price. I came back to the board and says it should be under $12,000 to take asbestos tile a basement.
Well,
and
there's no reason we're not working on that.
Well, I did mention to Harold just last week or this current week about trying to call this contractor in now that it's down there, and let's get a price. Let's get some of this stuff done, because this is certain stuff you want to do before you start walls and projects.
Or sell it.
We will have an architect's evaluation of the building within the next 30 days. We're working.
So I'm just saying your opinion, first floor, basement, second floor, is just going to let him come back and think what we need, how many offices, where they're going to go, who's going to meet?
He's doing an evaluation of the building, what needs to be repaired, what needs to be removed, what needs to be...
Okay. So he's not designing, laying out drawings. He's just recommending that this is solid, good. This basement is really good. It's not going to get water. This probably should be done in the meantime, just to have it done.
Yes.
This one.
We will have that within 30 days.
Thank you. It's just, again, I say things take time. Sometimes I think that's the problem, and I've been told all the time this is a government grant and it's not a business like you run, but my personal opinion, any political office should be ran as a business, and we're seeing that happening right now.
Now you're speaking of federal issues, I do believe. I think, Trudy, you and I are on the same page with this building.
Okay.
We bought this building.
Yes, we did. A great buy, too, seriously. It was.
Do I want Harold to move faster on the project? Absolutely. I want Harold to move faster on absolutely everything, right? And right. I'm always saying, what do you do? Right? But I can't make a good decision about the future of the township randomly. It has to be based in fact, and Harold's working on getting that. Matt's working on getting it for that building. And Doug just told me we're not doing anything to cause the building harm.
Right, I agreed on that.
Can we be there in June? That'd be great if we could decide that these people fit best in this building, and it would work.
Okay.
It's already marked off, so you're probably out of the question. But you never know.
Bravo.
You get the asbestos tile done, maybe not.
You know what?
I will send you the grant as well, because there is a grant for township buildings, for town halls. And I also think this can be done in phases. We can get out of this room on every Monday for sure and go down there. That doesn't mean we have to move offices in June. We can start holding meetings down there. It needs cable. It needs some Triotech stuff. There are stages. It doesn't have to be. We make this final decision. But you can ask for it to be on the agenda when Chuck is chairman again.
Well, you kind of insinuated that Carol kind of knows which direction, and you just said as far as moving administration. So maybe you can start on quotes for how many people, Harold, and maybe see about septic tank. Spring's going to be here before we know it, and we really have to have a leach field and restrooms in place before we move down to that building.
Yep. I thought he was already doing that, so.
Okay. Okay, I beat it enough. We can go on.
We have no new business, yep. So that takes us to zone.
Okay, my report is information. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Wow, that's a good reporter. Matt has a lot to do. Do you want to give us an update, Matt?
Sure.
I guess I don't have any questions, Eric. You're good. Jeez, I was looking. I wanted to find one or two, but Barbara's moving right on. I do have one question.
Sure.
Okay. Because it's before my time, the 20A Western Overlay District, up for sale. Seems like there's a lot of stuff going on. It says that landscape businesses are not out in the 20A Overlay
District. That was one of our updates when we updated the Overlay District, was not wanting to have, like, piles of mulch, piles of soil, piles of rock on a main highway going through the township. So when we updated the Overlay District, you know, 9-10 months ago, we added things, if you remember, for signage, for downward facing lighting.
Okay, so that was one of the parts of
that
the
Overlay
District.
That was one of the updates.
Because I see there was quite a few calls that people were wondering about that. So that's the only question.
It's a very small parcel. It's got it's kind of an awkward,
yes.
It's hard to develop.
I looked at an area, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So please, Matt.
So January run statistics or incident statistics are there. We started out with probably the busiest month ever that we've had, 233 calls for service altogether. So we're off to a busy start for this year. So that's basic on the run statistics. I have the one action item presented for you tonight. We dust in the working session a little bit that we have the safer grant positions that we advertised for first round. From that, we had 7 applicants that we reviewed. Based on that, our hiring panel committee has come up with 3 names as a recommendation to offer to the board for contingent appointment for those 3 safer grant funded positions.
Can you talk about the change in procedure for the interview process?
There wasn't much of a change. We formalized some of the things that we did informally before. We have a process where we review the applicant data that they give us through our application process. We've on board with the National Testing Network for applications, so now we have the fire teams testing and the physical agility test, the firefighter mile, through that organization. So we get results from the fire teams test that we look over to see. It gives them scoring in some basic things, basic reading, comprehension, math skills, mechanical skills, some interpersonal skills. And we go through each of the qualifications that they present in their applications and resumes. We review what their technical skills that they have or possess already, how it fits with our position. Our interview process, then we also rank some of their performance in the interview as far as that goes, to look at their prior experiences, how they handle the situations in the past, and how they would apply to the team concept that we strive for the fire department for Mount Clova Township, and how they fit in with our department and township.
And you gave the trustees a numerical rank of your candidates.
And we come through with an overall score to rank the strength of the applicants for the candidates.
I followed up with an ask, did any of the committee members making the interview or doing the interview know these applicants? And your answer was yes, because they worked here.
We had out of the 7, we had 4 that were part-time employees, part-time applicants, or current employees here, and then 3 were outside applicants that were not known to Mount Clova Township.
discussed this at great length in the working session. So, if anyone wants any information, listen to the working session. When Kathleen posts it in a day or two, Chief was with us for the whole working session, going over the personnel that the fire department is recommending. We asked a lot of questions, got a lot of good feedback. The committee, I do believe, is doing an excellent job. I know it's a mixture of Harold, Chief, Chief Yunker, and I know a representative from the fire department. So, obviously, you guys know a lot of the players. You know it fit in well with the fireman community. And I don't see any problem at all on any of I think they've done their due diligence. And
yep.
I would like to move forward to
make the motion.
I move to approve the fire chief to offer contingent appointments to, is it Kaya Macy?
Yes.
Jacob Bruce and Blake Reed for the open full-time firefighter / EMT or AEMT or paramedic positions funded by the SAFER grant with the completion of the signed agreements. Contingent appointments will be based on completion of a background check, pre-employment drug screening, medical exam as required by the Ohio Police Firefighters Pension System, and subject to a probationary period of 60 tours per department policies.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. Congratulations, Chief.
Thank you.
Chief Saw, sorry.
Okay.
That was just a lot of work. So as I tried to say in the working session, I think you're where you want to be. So good luck.
And we continue to work on the last open position that
right.
we have. So we should have that to you shortly as well. The remaining report is informational. I'd be happy to answer your questions if you have any.
I'm good. Trudy?
I think we're good. I did want to make note, I already made note earlier about the large expense. I'm glad to see it happen, though, you know, to make sure our equipment is maintained and up to what the standards it should be. So I realized we did spend a lot of money on engine 91.
Correct.
Obviously, it had to be done to maintain the equipment and the safety of Monclova Township, so I don't have any problem with that.
That takes us to our roads.
Really, I have 7 motors I want to discuss tonight.
Wait, before we start, I went to some Monclova residences over the weekend. They could not say enough concerning the conditions of the roads for the snow plowing and the job the township maintenance guys are doing.
Thanks.
And they brought it up because they just happened to know who I am. And they said, well, we've made a lot of improvements with the supervisor, GPS is in the truck, everybody drives the same plow, everybody knows their routes. So, again, it was brought up earlier. Kudos to the maintenance department on a job well done.
Yeah, our crews are killing it. They're on top of it.
Not killing it.
That's a good thing.
How many mailboxes did they pull this week?
We have 3 in the last 2 snowstorms, which isn't terrible.
One of them was Doug's.
Hypothetically, allegedly, maybe, possibly.
Okay.
Under no, so with our GPS in our trucks, I'm going to skip around this to make it go faster. So with our GPS, we change routes yet again. Then we have something called a drift list. So there's certain roads that drift really bad. Black Road had 18 inches of snow on it. Ram was gone. Keener was bad. If I'm not getting notified either by fire or by the deputies or someone calling me that happens to know me, we'll know. So this is the first real amount of snow that we had over the week. I think it was a record, or the most snow we've had since like 21, all in one fall. I forget what we read. I don't know. Anyhow, the drifting was crazy. So keeping up with that, we changed a little bit of our drift routes. We added some more roads to it that weren't there from years past. So GPS is doing exactly what we bought it for, what we wanted to do. So that is a good thing. 5-year plan on resurfacing, you'll see which says I'm working on it. This is what Harold gave me, and this is what I've added to it. So I just colored it off. Him and I will go over it. We'll be ready in the next week or so with that to go away. We talked truck 22 is the one that we ordered. I don't know if you guys remember. Yes, no. It looks good. It's sucking doing its thing, and then it's going to come to us, and it's going to collide it to get outfitted. Stuff's already been ordered in March, so or May, so things are. That'll progress fastly. 16 will be going away, probably spring. Cemetery, nothing new other than I need some direction for Are we doing Roth or are we doing Swan Creek? Two totally different projects. The columbarium thing?
We can have a discussion because Chuck and I went there. It's gorgeous. And it's not that really high price expensive for all the marble. I don't think you guys see him over at the OTA at the convention. The people from Canada, did you see them?
I saw their booth.
Yeah. So Chuck and I got an email. The reason I brought this up, I got an email from this week.
So how about the next meeting? Mm-hmm. I'm in a working session. I'll bring all the stuff and then we can kind of, if you want to give me a direction, just because an outside project versus inside project, not the same project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not at all. Not at all the same project. I don't know what direction you need.
Well, do you want to focus on Swan Creek and that build first? Or do we want to do outdoor at Roth first? Swan Creek is so faster, without a doubt.
I think that they can be in Vivica going simultaneously.
Double the money.
I
if you're fine with that, I just didn't want to spend your money and be like,
we're not. That is a return on investment project. That we might have to put up front, but everyone you sell, the money comes back to us.
Sure.
You have to do pricing on it. You have to, this is what it costs to put up, and once it's up, we sell it at this rate. We're only putting this much up, and then we're going to put three other panels after the first panel sells.
Well, with our cemetery stuff, in this time, we've got to raise rates anyhow, so not raise rates, we're going to have to make that
adjust.
Up. So when we make that adjustment, I'll try to have
I don't want you to leave without guidance.
No, you painted the picture of what I need. Do both. Don't just one or the other.
But
we wanted a columbarium at Keener forever.
Right. We had a spot back there that was left vacant for that purpose.
Yep.
And it still is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So see if we can add
on. People want that service, too. They don't want to be in the ground. So... can we get Swan Creek done?
I don't know if
we can get Swan Creek in that building done. Might just have to be you know, one person. That's it.
Okay.
You want
to
make
the
deal?
The whole building in there for
So that's some
leave me stuff. Like Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
I'll leave the light
we'll
on.
The people watching
over.
Are now
we'll
vomiting in there.
I'll put a light on like Motel 6.
We'll put a glass case over
yeah, exactly.
in there.
Exactly. I'm vomiting right now, I know.
I'll get some stuff for cemetery for the next meeting. Parks, you see what is on there?
I'd rather have the columbarium than the $2,000 of park benches, but...
I was this in your report too, Harold? Because I was going to tell you on it. You said someone asked...
That's a breakdown per unit. I only got one moving copy.
No,
Chuck wanted it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw it on your report, and you didn't say Trustee Lang. You left it blank. And so I thought, this is a Chuck request. Now, for some reason, Trustee Lang gets put on if she asks for something, but Trustee Herschel doesn't. So, right, no, $62,000 for new. We have great picnic benches.
Every time it goes to the convention,
something exciting can happen.
Chuck asked for
now,
this.
Now, do
time.
We watch our picnic benches and think, hey, they need to be updated
restated
or replaced or
rested or whatever?
And I would love to have a really good relationship with our Eagle Scouts because all those are projects they want to do. They want to build community gardens. They want to help us make our parks better.
So those Eagle Scout projects are supposed to be in by the beginning of March because I kind of looked into it for steps for us. So for the kids that are going to come up to Eagle Scouts, March is their deadline. I know it's because my nephew's an Eagle Scout and I'm helping with the church project. But anyhow, so we can do some stuff with that coming up this year to have next upcoming group.
Sure,
some stuff
right. If you have needs, $62,000 for... Were you putting them under where they are now?
That's a price to replace every picnic bench or picnic table, park bench, and trash can that we have.
We have 18 picnic tables. I mean, I don't disagree that we need a plan, right?
So now you have numbers. So now the next thing is, let's plan and do it. We don't have to do it all at once. And if we start, you know, I think there's the park over picnic tables around personally.
I were in perfect condition. They're big. They're movable.
We have people driving in the park because there's nothing to stop them from the park.
That's what I was just going to bring up.
I'd rather put the money in a fence that prevents people from driving into our fields.
Can you get a price for what it would cost to put the fence up? I know the guys can go ahead and our guys can put up the fence. if it's split rail, it might be $2,000 or $3,000 because they were doing pinwheels in the ball diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
What is my club coming to?
Yeah.
This happens occasionally.
Yeah, I don't
between
think,
the pickleball.
Yeah, I don't need a knee-jerk reaction to the thing that happens. And go, you know, flight security and have security run. We don't need to go that crazy with you, I think.
Right. But it would just detour them from driving their cars where they're not supposed to be.
So an opera, I mean, that's my spiel on
it. We don't have a gate across there?
You can
there's
drive right
gate,
around the...
There's a gate by the stone road. It's
okay.
Gone right now because it got taken down for the parking lot for all that, like, change.
Construction.
It's not back up, but that gate from day one, it never made sense to me because
you can go right
I can go left of the gate, I can go right
yeah.
of the gate.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
But we don't want people driving on the stone road. Yeah, okay. Yeah, think about a plan for that.
I got it. I'll bring it to you in the next meeting.
And think about a replacement plan for picnic benches. I mean, don't you guys think about that anyway?
Yeah, so the last, we painted them last year.
Right.
And it was 3 years before that, per Ken, so.
Isn't that interesting? He wants new ones.
The trash cans, right now we have 55-gallon drums that Ken and those guys came up with a lid to keep raccoons out, yada, yada, yada. They work, if you go to the newer style, they're typically 30-gallon trash cans. So that means maintenance is going to be out there more changing up bags.
Because they're smaller.
I thought the trash cans were great. They are old school.
Since it still works.
Okay, so let's go on.
Okay, operationally, we did some classes. The big one we did was with the fire side of stuff. We did CPR, AED, stop the bleed. Awesome class. The guys did really well teaching us. The next step is figure out an AED system for the park and what that looks like down the road. I'm not in a position to talk about that just yet. Matt and I have some more things to go over and figure out, and then we'll eventually come up with a plan, probably sooner than later.
That was the huge discussion down at the convention that passed this law, that AEDs, and I thought briefly about it.
I just try to keep...
You know what I'm saying? I just
keep thinking Harold's going to come up with a plan.
I am.
I don't bring it up.
They
kind of
put the cart before the horse a bit because they have this law passed, but they don't have much guidance.
So do you know what happened? Someone died.
They don't have much guidance to the park system as to the rules that they...
And they just updated it. So a child died, and the legislatures that put it through made the parents very happy, and they were okay with the flexibility. But we still qualify as needing them.
It's all a great idea.
It's
over 5,000 residents. We just need them. I mean, we're talking about having them in outside storage. We have to look at security for them.
And we only need one now. They've changed it. They've changed it. We only need one. They have made improvements, but we still qualify. We're still big enough that we need it. It doesn't need to be outside at the place all the time. None of that is still part of it.
Really? Because at the convention, they must have just recently changed it?
Nope, it was at the convention that they shared this.
Oh, I wouldn't. Okay. But what the biggest thing they said has to be an organized sport. So if somebody's just out playing pickleball, it's not a necessary, item to have. It has to be, they stress this, it has to be an organized league that is required to have these.
Right, and we could make league, and there's lots going on. And that's why I just keep saying I hope you come up with something. And I don't even bring this up because it's a silly one. It's somebody trying to do something good without thinking it through.
Yeah. So my big thought on this is, if it's accessible to the coaches in some form or fashion, that meets the intent of organized sports, right? Now, then you look at the pickleballers, and we look at the people at cardiac event. I can tell you these numbers. Who's most likely to have a cardiac event? An elderly person or a young kid?
Oh, right.
So why is it not by the pickleball court? Makes sense. We are going to make a difference. The other thought process, Monday through Friday, we have 7 guys running around the township. Do we put them in those trucks just like they put an Arcana police cars? Are we there to save somebody randomly and stop? Oh, no. But if we're out in the park picking up trash, we may have the ability to do something. Does that meet the intent? I don't know.
I was going to ask them when I was... hearing about it, who's monitoring this? Like, how are we going to get in trouble? But I didn't ask that, Harold. Because I figure nobody's monitoring this, but to start with, it was, and townships did it right away, it was onerous. It was expensive, and they wear out. They get stolen. So that we waited this.
Yeah, you have to maintain temperature on them, otherwise
right,
the batteries don't last.
Right, that we've waited this long is advantageous in that they're changing the rules even as we speak. So, I don't know. We need to come up with a plan. And
yeah, we have been researching costs and looking at different things and reading up on healthcare guidelines and trying to. So some new changes, if those have come out since the conference,
yeah,
and we'll take a look at those.
The three of us will figure this out. I just don't know what it looks like yet. He's got his thoughts. I got my thoughts with storage, with security, and how long in the past.
So I think we start with the bare minimum.
Yes. Yeah, we're on the same page. Absolutely.
And figure out how we make bare minimum work and
you
how
guys
we
have
can
one
add.
At the maintenance building?
Not yet.
That was part of what we discussed when we planned the class, that we got him some information on some pricing to get one so that we could be down there. We had one here in the Township and Chief Edition building. And then obviously it's looking at what we need for the park areas.
I do have one other question, then I'll end it here. Kathleen, on the app. When I went to the app, because we were going down a certain road, and I know the township roads, and one of them was, like, really bad. And it was, like, we came to half of it. But when I went on the app to look, there's no indication of what roads are the township roads. Is there any way to put on my Montauk Club saying, these are your township roads, so people could call and complain about still, they say, they'll know it's a county road. So is this, there's parks, there's some other stuff and things like that. I didn't see a tab for roads. Did I miss it?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
But with that.
It's hard.
Well,
apps are hard.
And it's under maintenance.
Oh.
If you do fill out one of those apps on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'm not going to see it until Monday morning.
I don't see it.
So I wanted to bring that up. I would love an update regularly on how our app is being used, right? We have now many users, and we have many requests, and I see still typing all his report by hand, and I thought we were going to be able to generate some of that through this app. Don't know. We could be light years from that, but
I'll see you afterwards because I don't see maintenance.
Yeah, it's under FAQs, and I don't want to play on it, but it's there somewhere.
I didn't get garbage picked up in my neighborhood, and I filled out the app because that's what I thought was the best thing to do, and it didn't respond to me. And so I called them, and they didn't respond either. They, you know, it was a message on the. I left a message, and it wasn't a big deal. It then got picked up. But a resident called me and said, hey, this happened, and I used the app. And I didn't think of it when I was talking to the resident, but I emailed you all and said, hey, this isn't a complaint about garbage, it's a concern about the app. You might look at, when I fill out a request for garbage, how that process then gets. You probably practice all the time on this thing. We use it randomly. People in our neighborhoods use randomly. You're
so
super familiar.
The improvement that was made in the last week is that now the communication for trash and recycling complaints, I call them, now finally goes directly to the public services. So when I have a day off, there's nobody here transferring that information previously. It just happened this week.
So it goes right to them. And the complainer gets something back that says we're handling your.
It has to come through me. Republic Services does not communicate through the app. They're not allowed to.
Okay.
So it's Tom Gerald or I.
So it goes directly to the public, but we still see it.
Right. But if the person that made the complaint doesn't get anything back, they don't know if it. What they're still left in limbo, not knowing what to do.
So I believe that the response, this isn't ideal, but the response automatically is that someone will get back to them with whatever time frame we established when we first wrote the app. So I believe it's 4 days. It's always shorter than that. It could be 3 days because we have to account holidays, weekends, all that good stuff. But So they do get something, or they're supposed to.
Okay.
I know the complaint that you're talking about. And sometimes it's just a matter of, I did it today. I'm communicating with Republic Services, stand by. That's my phrase.
Yeah, stand by. Right. That's
because
all the person wants
quote,
to know.
I'm going to tell you,
no.
I'm going to get back to you today. I'm going to, because it's all Republic Services driven.
No, it, absolutely.
So
they just want to know that it went somewhere.
Yeah. My standard reply is stand by. And then my other little, you know, another little sentence on whatever's appropriate. So there's sometimes a little bit of a time pickup. I do think it's a little bit better than our former customer service person, because we have a new person as of last week who, that person is willing to get those emails, and it has been tremendous response, like so quick. So I'm seeing a difference already in the last couple days.
Keep them crossed.
No harm.
It just keeps getting better.
So yeah. On the app, is it possible to add more tabs, different tabs?
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's
so
got
make notes and we can touch base on
yeah,
this.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's monthly reports, so that you can find out, how is it Apple, is it an Android? We, you know, what are the top people are looking at? What are the,
right,
you know,
we would like to know all that.
We just did a report Thursday, so I try and do it before, well, once a month. That's gonna say.
Can we have a big celebration at 1,000?
We'll
pass 1,000 users?
So Apple doesn't want me to keep communicating with them, so what they've agreed to is quarterly.
Okay.
So I want to say in January I gave you the number. I can't think of it. I'll keep it up and happen with. But they'll communicate with me quarterly. So wait until the beginning of April and you'll get another number.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to see that app continually grow and expand.
It wasn't an email.
Like
you
that,
sent it in an email.
Okay. Are we having fun?
I can look that up. It's not coming to me right now.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
I thought it was because your target, you were thinking 500 number and me. Well, it's either way.
Okay, that takes us to the township's administrator's report.
You were done?
I'm done.
I'm sorry.
They're done asking questions.
We have no idea if you're done or not. We're moving on.
You're done.
I haven't run a meeting in a long time.
I only had 12 pillars of my 13. I'm not happy about
it. We're not moving as smoothly as I used to. Sorry, guys.
So the only thing I have this evening for formal action, the Toledo Regional Society of Professional Engineers is honoring Township President Adam Hoff as Engineer of the Year at their annual Engineers Week banquet on February 10th. And they've asked if we wanted to recognize Adam. There is a letter that was part of correspondence this evening that sort of explained everything they're doing, and we have a proclamation honoring Adam that we'd like you to approve.
I move to approve a proclamation honoring Adam Hoff, 2025 Engineer of the Year, and I add that it was actually printed on the working conference desk, and it was super nice. And I don't know if you did it, Kathleen, or who.
Yes,
nice
she
job.
Did.
It was very, very, very nicely done. So I'm sorry about that. I move to approve a proclamation honoring Adam Hoff, 2025 Engineer of the Year.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
And the rest of my memo is information. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
I do have one suggestion. I'm on the store app, and people comment on different things. For some reason, people just don't seem to be aware of the timeline for the sewer line. And so I don't know if there's anything we can put on it. You know, they say, is it open yet? Is it open yet? Now, I've read, and I know it's not going to be for like April or May. People have no idea the time frame of this coming down on Clover.
I've communicated twice with someone at the county sanitary engineer's office, girl, remote person, and have asked them to please approve language. I already wrote it out and haven't gotten that.
No response?
Can I we don't hesitate to respond to give out information on behalf of the sanitary engineer's office. It's their project.
Right.
So we, and you know.
I understand where you come from, but well, is there any way to help the residents? Because it comes up like every other day. Well, it's not open.
This is why. This is why. The road closed sign down here at Monclova heading west, when it went up, it said it would be closed on this date for 90 days.
Right.
It's never been changed.
Correct.
So the timeline's been changed, but the signs haven't been changed. So your residents are seeing signs, and they're going off of 9 days starting way back when.
Yeah.
So it shows it's behind schedule.
Right.
Well, we sit with a March 6th, so.
They just need to update the signs.
Update the signs. So it comes up all the time, and I can understand it why. It's like, when are you going to be finished? When do I have to start doing stuff? When do I have to do that? Maybe they should have another meeting eventually with the residents coming down. You know, when it gets closer to finalizing.
Okay. We can make that suggestion.
Is there anything else you want to bring up, Harold?
Come on, Harold. Harold, keep going.
I don't think so. I think this would be a time to adjourn.
You ready?
Sure.
I want to object.
Ryan, do you have any questions you want to ask regarding this agenda?
No, because we'll be here for another 20 minutes, so.
You're our only person usually, so you're more than welcome to ask questions if
you
need
me. That's okay. There was a lot that could have been commented on tonight. So
yeah, it was a good meeting.
Keep it to myself.
Speaking in code.
Okay. I move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion 2 and 3.